It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republican state lawmakers have raised questions about why the Department of Safety and Professional Services, or DSPS, is taking weeks to issue licenses and whether there is a backlog. State Senator Alberta Darling sent a letter last month to the agency's new head with a dozen questions. Some of those we will certainly probe. DSPS issues over 240 licenses, administers dozens of boards and councils that regulate professions, enforces state building codes, runs the state prescription drug monitoring program, and more. Join in 800-642-1234. Dan Harith is secretary designee of DSPS, formerly assistant deputy secretary of the agency, was appointed when Don Krim stepped down last month. Secretary designee Harith, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Well, for having me on such a dreary Monday morning.
Well, I want to first look at these, quote, grave concerns that State Senator Alberta Darling brought up in her letter about a potential backlog in issuing licenses. What is happening there? What are you doing to speed up the licensing process?
Well, I appreciate you asking that question. Certainly, we hear from folks, both legislators and others, about this process and their concern for this process. This is something that we are very focused on. We're certainly in unprecedented times here in the state of Wisconsin and across the country. I know we're coming out of a pandemic, and while we are experiencing record low unemployment, record high labor force participation, at the same time that we're seeing a lot of turnover in the healthcare industry. My wife worked in a hospital setting throughout the pandemic. Certainly saw the stress that created on that environment, and I think. Part of the story is that we're all just very keenly aware of the workforce shortages that are happening, not just in Wisconsin, but throughout the nation. I'm extremely proud of the work that we're doing. We are currently issuing licenses in an average of 45 days. That's 40% faster than the agency has historically issued licenses, and we are actually issuing more higher volume of licenses than ever before. We've done that through a series of efforts, starting last year after the last budget. We weren't as successful in some of the resources that we requested as we would have hoped, and as a result, we immediately turned to planning for alternatives. We didn't see the trend of what the volume of applications decreasing, and in fact, it's increased over 100% in the last 6 years. And so we knew that we needed to start planning for other alternatives. I think one of the things that we didn't anticipate at that time, because if you'll recall, the workforce shortage wasn't necessarily as severe as it is now, was the difficulty that the agency would have hiring temporary workforce, both contracted temporary and limited term staff. I think historically we're a very thinly staffed agency. We've been asked to rely heavily on temporary workforce in order to fill that gap, and so. What was the next option at the table? Well, the next option at the table was technology, and so we dove headfirst in developing a new technology program, which is already yielding fabulous benefits, not just for us internally at the agency, but also for the citizens of Wisconsin.
I want to just pause before we get further into technology and what that impact that has made, because, I mean, from my understanding, you're a fee-based agency, so you have the operating budget sustained through the fees from your various licenses and so forth. What impact does that model have? I mean, when you say that you weren't successful in getting what you needed from the state?
Sure. The interesting part about government is that there's multiple authorities needed in any time you want to spend money or hire people, and you need both. So in the state of Wisconsin, specifically, you need spending authority and you need position authority. And so if you can have one, you can have the other, but you need both in order to when you're talking about hiring staff, to hire the staff necessary to do the work. We are a fee-based agency. We do not take a dime of general tax revenue, and we do have the resources internal to the agency in order to pursue the things necessary. However, in order to spend those resources, we need both those pieces of authority.
We heard from Kathy in Southern Wisconsin email to say that when Kathy's husband renews their Wisconsin CPA license, the whole process is seamless and takes minutes. And Kathy says that they do understand that others may have experienced delays and said, "We would be willing to pay extra to raise the nominal fee to hire more staff at the agency. Would that be a possibility so more complicated cases could be resolved?"
Yeah, I think as Kathy correctly points out, depending on whether you're talking about renewals or new licenses, and even license to license, the requirements vary dramatically. And as you can imagine, for every requirement that's added to the process, it certainly creates more iterations and more complexities. Raising fees certainly might be an option that's on the table, but that being said, even if the department were to raise the fees, the department would still need the spending authority and position authority in order to obtain the resources necessary. Our budget operationally has only increased about 0.5% for over about the last decade, each of the last 10 years. And as you can imagine, once you couple that with inflation, it doesn't go very far. But again, we're not talking about raising fees right now. What we have the resources necessary. What we're focused on is, trying to come up with creative ways in the interim while we're looking ahead to the next budget, in order to deal with the volume of work that's in front of us.
We're talking with the Department of Safety and Professional Services, Dan Harith, newly appointed agency head. You can join in at 800-642-1234. With budgets due Thursday, what is the priority for your agency?
The priority, as you can imagine, is staffing. I'll give you a real great example of the impacts of staffing. We have a call center that takes an average of 5,000 calls a week, sometimes up to 10,000 calls in a single week. And we have 6 full-time staff for that call center. That, quite frankly, that math simply doesn't work. And we've shared that in the past. And with 6 FTE across that number of calls, our answer rate is about 34%. And it creates an average hold time of between 35 and 40 minutes. In fact, when I first came to the agency, I was surprised to learn of those times and spoke with my own sister who waited on the phone for quite some time when she was working to get her license. And the reason why I give this as an example is because with the federal emergency dollars that the governor has been provided to the agency, we've been able to contract for additional call center staff and drop that or raise that rate to 90% answer rate and drop that wait time to about 4 minutes. But we had to quadruple our staff in order to get there. That just gives you a sense of the dire staffing needs at the agency.
But there are only 4 job openings posted now on the WISC jobs board for your agency. I just checked this morning. Is that an accurate representation of the openings in your agency?
Yes, that is an accurate representation of the openings at the agency. As with all government agencies and organizations, we're limited to the number of positions we can hire by the position authority that's granted to us.
Let's take another call now. Kate is with us in Sun Prairie. Kate, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I've been listening for the past almost, I don't know how many months, it's been since February. My best friend called me every day trying to figure out how to get answers. She has her master's in counseling, but is coming out of being a stay-at-home mom and wanted to go back and into the field. So she got a job, and they said, okay, now you can get your training license. Well, it's been since February, and she has no answers. She doesn't know where her application status is. She's driven to Madison, and they said that, like, because they had changed from the credit numbers, that she needs to obtain additional credits, but she doesn't know what classes she needs to obtain in order to get up to that credit level. And her, because of the mental health crisis, the person who hired her said she'll wait until she gets that training license, but it's, you know, we're coming into September, and now she's just taking classes, not even knowing what classes she should be taking, and paying thousands of dollars for graduate classes, hoping that they will count towards that 60. So she's just looking for an answer as to what classes to take, because she knows that she needs to take them, and what she needs to do to get that training license.
Kate, thank you. Secretary Harris.
Absolutely. Kate, thank you for calling in. And I think first and foremost, that if Kate would be willing to provide her friend's information to your producers,
sure,
we would certainly be happy to give her friend a call and engage further on that. I, you know, our mental health licenses are some of our most complex, even quite frankly more complex than our physician licenses, and they can often be difficult to navigate. I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why the staffing shortage is such a concern for us, because there are instances like this where individuals need a higher level of service than we can provide. And I think getting down into that nuance and spending the time it takes with each applicant to figure out what the next steps for them are is important. And that's the only way that we help the folks and the citizens of Wisconsin move forward. You know, relative to the recommendations for classes, I know we certainly that's a common concern in the mental health professions, particularly when there's additional coursework that's necessary. We aren't allowed to recommend specific classes, as that would be akin to recommending you know, specific colleges or specific or recommending private organizations. But that being said, I think we still would like to be able to do a better job working through the particulars of that with each individual applicant and understanding that helping them understand what information we can provide.
Dan Harith with us, Secretary Designee of DSPS, the Department of Safety and Professional Services, leads the agency that issues professional licenses, as we've been talking about, regulates building codes and trade industries, where we go next, oversees the Controlled Substances Board and Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. Join in with your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Wisconsin Public Radio is personally important to you. Your gift today ensures that you and everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment. WPR is listener-supported, and that's why your gift is so important. Become a member, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give now at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
On the Ideas Network, zoos and aquariums across the nation face a sustainability crisis. With limited space and resources, growing climate challenges, we talk with zoo leaders in Wisconsin and beyond. Next on The Morning Show.
New polling suggests inflation is the number one issue for most Americans. That's put some wind in the sails of Republicans. But abortion is a major concern, too, and that's buoying hopes for Democrats who fear another midterm shellacking. With the sprint to the elections underway on shifting political terrain, we'll find out if the candidates are addressing your concerns next time on 1A.
This morning at 9 on the Ideas Network.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your daily companion, with familiar voices, important conversations, and music and entertainment that make your day better. Thank you to the more than 50,000 contributing members who make quality WPR programming available to all.
Whether you laugh along with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or feed your mind with To the Best of Our Knowledge, you'll always find something to enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Find our program schedule and listen online at WPR.org.
You're listening to The Ideas Network from Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the new head of DSPS, Department of Safety and Professional Services. Some things on their watch: inspecting commercial buildings, amusement park rides, boilers, elevators, wastewater treatment systems. They administer dozens of professional boards and issue hundreds of unique licenses, coming under criticism from Republican lawmakers that the agency isn't moving fast enough to process these license applications. Join in 800-642-1234. Secretary Designee of DSPS Dan Harith stays with us. So I want to turn now to building codes. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development says housing demand in our country is nearly the highest it's been in more than a decade. As your agency oversees the state's building and plumbing codes, are codes keeping up with developments in construction technology?
Well, we certainly are working hard to keep our codes up to speed with developments in technology. And I would highlight one thing that we've been working on over the past several months is mass timber. So mass timber is a newer technology using wood-based products for structural members of buildings. And it's really coming into its own right now. We just saw in the city of Milwaukee that the Ascent, the tallest mass timber building in the world, was built and developed. And we're incredibly proud of that work happening right here in Wisconsin. We also know Wisconsin has a robust forest products industry, and building a mass timber industry in Wisconsin can serve to help that industry as well. How does that relate to our agency? Well, we convened at the beginning of the year Mass Timber Task Force. We have folks from the USDA Forest Products Lab. We have folks from the architecture firm that developed the Ascent. We have folks from City of Milwaukee Fire Department and others who care about the safety of these products and the safety of these buildings, which of course is the department's number one concern. And that task force is currently working to develop mass timber guidelines.
I just want to pause right there, because this summer, UW-Milwaukee Associate Professor of Architecture Alex Timmer was on our show talking about mass timber, and the International Building Code last year issued new outlines for building with wood.
I think the height limitations have more to do with managing life safety mm-hmm. and egress from the building than it does necessarily about the structure or the structural strength of the particular material, because they're engineered, so we can continue to make them larger and larger.
Okay, engineered to make them larger and larger. What needs to change in building codes with mass timber?
I think he hit the nail on the head in terms of life safety, and the conversations that I've had with with our fire departments. You know, one of the critical things is in any building safety issue is how quickly can you evacuate the upper floors of the building, and so really it's sort of a multi prong system when you're talking about is a building safe. Mm-hmm. It's the structure of the building, number one. Number two, in your local community, is your community prepared to evacuate the upper floors of that building in the event of an emergency? And that's why we're working so closely with the City of Milwaukee Fire Department and others. And you know, forgive my omission, Professor Timmer is also on our Mass Timber Task Force. So we are adopting the latest building code. That is in the final stages of approval. And that will include
there's tension here, right? Because do you feel pressure not to make codes, you know, mass timber aside, but not to make codes more stringent because that will increase building costs at a time when we desperately need new housing and new workforce housing?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a zero-sum game. I mean, I think new technology all the time certainly has the opportunity to increase building costs, but it actually also has the opportunity to decrease building costs. So when we talk about updating the codes, the work is critically important on a number of fronts, you know, to ensure that we have access to the latest technology. Really, it's about offering opportunities and choices to our builders and the consumers out there. And then from a safety standpoint, when we make these adjustments that increase the safety of our building code, it has downstream effects that improve insurance rates and save consumers money in other ways.
Talking about the Department of Safety and Professional Services with Dan Harith, newly appointed agency head, you can join in 800-642-1234. I want to circle back where we started our conversation with technology changes at your agency and what technology is allowing you to process these licenses more efficiently. What are you doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. Inside of about 6 months, we developed a whole new system for licensing healthcare workers in the state of Wisconsin. It's called Licensee. It's based on a Salesforce platform. Incredibly proud of our partnership, not just with Salesforce, but also with our implementer, MTX. They've done a fantastic job working with us and working with our licensed professions to develop this system. I think I'll give you an example of one person's experience and how this system is so important to moving the state forward. So I worked with a physician who was having some difficulties obtaining a license, and she had applied several months ago in the old system, and she was licensed, I believe, as of a few months ago. But what happened in her particular circumstance was she had a multitude of documents. Some physicians have hundreds of documents that the department's required to review. And in those documents, she had different names. She had been married. And in addition to having been married, she submitted documentation, and some of her partners who were required to submit documentation on her behalf submitted from multiple email addresses. Hmm. And so that's a really great example of how disparate information coming from disparate places, seemingly about potentially different people, could slow the process down. In this new system, we've designed it to be applicant-driven. What that means for us is that we want to make sure that we put as much power in the hands of our applicants to move the process forward as is possible. Hmm. And so they are able to directly upload documents. They're able to submit name change information, and they're able to update their personal information right on our website.
Secretary Harith, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the time to talk with you today. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day and it gets a little sunnier out.
Thank you. Dan Harith, Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Earlier, we talked with the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. This is a State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.